The reading, the text this morning is from Mark chapter 2, beginning at verse 23. And we will read through to chapter 3, verse 6. But before we read, let me quickly remind you of the context, what has happened so far in Mark chapter 2. I think it's an interesting chapter. Mark gives us a quick... gives us quick fire testimonies to four confrontations Jesus had with the religious leaders, each of which increased, in particular, the Pharisees' hostility against Christ. The first confrontation was about the forgiveness of sins. Jesus showed his authority to forgive sins by forgiving a paralytic man before Christ healed him completely. The religious leaders in that occasion accused Jesus of blasphemy. The second confrontation was about social traditions. Jesus called a tax collector to follow him, and he also ate and drank with the spiritually defiled of society. The Pharisees were accusing Jesus Christ of defilement by association. The third confrontation was over religious traditions. By not fasting as the religious did, Jesus showed the error of holding on to old traditions, especially when God has ushered something new and better through Christ Jesus, his Son. Now, in all of these, Christ was in direct dialogue of confrontation against the Pharisees. And with each confrontation, their antagonism against Jesus escalated. And now, in today's text, Christ confronts the Pharisees about their deadliest error, their legalistic attitude to life and to the law of God. So let us read together, beginning at Mark chapter 2, verse 23, and we'll read through to chapter 3, verse 6. Now it happened that he went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and as they went, his disciples began to pluck the heads of grain. And the Pharisees said to him, "Look, why do they do what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" But he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and hungry, he and those with him? How he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest and ate the showbread, which is not lawful to eat except for the priests, and also gave some to those who were with him." And he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath." And he entered the synagogue again, and a man was there who had a withered hand. So they watched him closely, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, "Step forward." Then he said to them, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they kept silent. And when he had looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and immediately plotted with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. May the word of God be a blessing to us this Sunday morning. So at first glance, this could be seen as a text regarding the importance of the Sabbath and a teaching on the appropriate way to observe God's fourth commandment. But given Mark's placement of this account, I believe something else is in view. Something greater than the appropriate keeping of the Sabbath is at stake. And here we see our Lord Jesus confronting it head on. The gospel of grace itself is at stake over here. And legalism is the great offense against the gospel of Christ. In today's text, Jesus confronts the Pharisees' religious legalism. There are only a few things that are as ugly and as damaging to the spiritual life as legalism. Legalism is putting people under laws and rules they should not be put under. Legalism draws away the law of God from its original context. It sees the law of God as a series of do's and don'ts, a cold set of moral principles. It is isolating the law of God from the God who gave the law. The legalist is not so much seeking to obey God and Christ as he is interested in obeying rules devoid of any personal relationship. There is no love, no joy, no life, no passion where there is legalism. Legalism focuses on obeying rules, destroying the context of God's love and redemption, which is the purpose the law was given in the first place. Legalism is making the law the rule and measure of our salvation. It says that you cannot be saved apart from keeping the law. You must keep this law and that commandment to be saved. You must believe in Jesus and do this and do that to be saved. Legalism also divorces the letter of the law from the spirit of the law. It looks to the externals while the heart is far removed from any desire to honor and love God. Legalism at its deadliest also includes adding rules to God's law and treating them as divine. It is imposing a measuring rod to people's spirituality. It uses man-made rules to determine spiritual maturity. It binds the consciences of people, teaching human traditions as if they were the word of God. It is heaping up restrictions and burdens on people where God has not added restrictions. It seems that as humans, we have an intrinsic inclination towards rules and rule-making. We love to make rules because they keep us in check. They serve as guidelines. The making of rules may be positive in a school, in a workplace, or on the roads, or to serve as guidelines in a situation of global pandemic. However, when we start depending on rules to help keep up appearances, when rules interfere with the law of God and with spiritual living, it has become legalism. Rules deal with externals, whereas God is interested in the heart. Well, this is what the Lord Jesus confronts the Pharisees about in our text this morning. Christ Jesus could not look past this. He had to attack it head on because of how destructive and deadly legalism is. The Pharisees managed to turn the law God had graciously given to his people, they turned that law from something good to feed on and delight in, into something heavy, burdensome, and taxing. Now remember how King David spoke of the law of God in the Psalms. In Psalm 1, saying, "Blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of God, and in his law he meditates day and night." Or in Psalm 119, saying, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day." Does God's law fill you with life and joy as it reveals the grace of God and Christ Jesus to you? But the religious take what is good and delightful and they turn it into a burden, something oppressive and crushing. Are you guilty of legalism? Let us then walk through our text this morning as we consider Christ's reaction to the Pharisees' legalism. Verse 23. "Now it happened that he went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and as they went, his disciples began to pluck the heads of grain." Note that it is the Sabbath. For the Jews and their religious observations, the Sabbath is the most important. They recognize the Sabbath as a special, sacred day set apart by God. And of course, they were not wrong to treat the Sabbath as a holy day. There may be a difference of opinion on this, but I believe God instituted the Sabbath in creation. After speaking into being the whole universe and all that is in it, including mankind, in just 6 days after the work of creation was finished, God rested on the seventh day. And we are told in Genesis 2, verse 3, "Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made." So God hallowed the seventh day. Now the keeping of the seventh day as a day of rest was silent until we come to Exodus. And a couple of thousand years later. And there in a covenant with his people, God reestablishes the sacredness of the Sabbath. The first mention of the Sabbath in the Bible is found in Exodus chapter 16, even before the Ten Commandments. When God provided a manna, bread from heaven, the Israelites were to gather double portion on the sixth day. Because the Lord had said in verse 23 of Exodus 16, "Tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord." And of course, then in Exodus 20, God established the observance of the Sabbath in writing. In the fourth commandment, God commanded, "Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But on the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. For in the 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." Now it is clear that the Sabbath was meant to be a holy day, a sacred day, which God commanded us to set apart. But notice how it is clear that God only had one restriction on the Sabbath. On the Sabbath, in it, you shall do no work. That was the one restriction. You shall do no work. That was the extent of the restrictions on the Sabbath. Do not work. Do not do the work that you would do on the other 6 days of the week. It was a day of rest from your day-to-day work. It was meant to be a day of refreshing and a day to remember the God of creation and the Lord of their salvation. But then the religious and the Pharisees took over. In their pursuit of righteousness, they misinterpreted the law of God. Instead of looking to God for salvation and rest, they took it upon themselves to externally work their way up to God, believing that their best works would gain them favor with God. And so looking to God themselves and appear more righteous, they added restrictions upon restrictions. They went beyond the law of God. And so doing, they added restrictions that they could keep, boosting their own external appearance of piety and righteousness. But that's all it was. It was external. And all these added rules were added at the expense of God's true law. The law that focused on the character of God and the heart of man for the glory of God. You see, legalism gives glory to man and not to God. It is interesting how Jesus chose the Sabbath to confront their legalism. I believe it is because the Sabbath was at the heart of the Jewish legalistic system. The Sabbath law keeping was what the Pharisees were most proud about. This was their baby. No one could outdo them on their Sabbath observances. But Christ chooses to shame them on the very day they gloried in themselves. So what was the cause of this confrontation? Verse 24. And the Pharisees said to him, "Look, why do they do what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" Jesus and his disciples were walking through the grain field, possibly on the way to the synagogue to worship God on the Sabbath. But as they went, the disciples were hungry, and so they plucked the heads of grain so that they could eat it as they walked through the field. If you are new to the Bible and these are the first verses you read, you would certainly be confused. Why is this such a big deal? Why were the Pharisees so troubled and offended by the disciples of Jesus just plucking heads of grain? It's because according to the Pharisees, the disciples of Jesus were profaning the Sabbath, being in direct disobedience to God. You see, their legalism added more restrictions to the single restriction God had given not to work on the Sabbath. They went beyond. Just listen to some of their rules on the Sabbath. They added 39 categories of forbidden acts. Here are a few of them. You couldn't sow. You couldn't reap. You couldn't wash. You couldn't light a fire, and you couldn't extinguish a fire. You couldn't write two letters. By that I mean letters of the alphabet. So you could write an A, but then if you wrote a B, you would be breaking the Sabbath. You couldn't use a hammer. You couldn't tie a knot. I wouldn't be able to wear a tie on a Sabbath. You couldn't untie a knot. You could sew one stitch, but not two. You couldn't transport an object from one private domain to a public domain. You could only walk 1,999 paces. The 2,000th pace would be a grave violation. And the list goes on. From God's command to not work so that they could rest, a day separated by God to be a blessing to the body and to the soul, the legalism, the legalistic ways, the legalistic attitudes added to it. They turned the Sabbath into a burden, a day filled with stifling restrictions. And so, according to the Sabbath laws, the disciples of Jesus, by plucking the heads of grain, they were apparently reaping, which was forbidden according to their own restrictions. But in fact, the disciples were benefiting from a provision God had given in his law. Found in Leviticus 23 and Deuteronomy 23 as well, there God made merciful provisions for the poor and hungry, commanding landowners not to reap the corners of their field so that it would be left to the poor and strangers, permitting people to pluck heads of grain, even grapes, from their neighbors, from the neighbor's field as long as it was consumed there. And they didn't take any away in their pockets and containers. So you see, the law of God is merciful and it blesses. It permitted people to pluck from the grain field of their neighbors. But the Pharisees' faulty reasoning brought an accusation upon Jesus and his disciples. And so Jesus responds in verse 25, but he said to them, "Have you not read?" What an insult. What an insult to the Pharisees. In other words, Jesus is saying, "You experts in the law, have you not read the law?" This suggests an ironic criticism of the expertise of the scriptures. They were proud, saying, "We know the law of God." And yet Christ is saying, "Have you not read?" In verse 25, 26, "Have you not read what David did when he was in need and hungry? He and those with him, how he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar, the high priest, and ate the showbread, which is not lawful to eat except for the priests, and also gave some to those who were with him." You see, it was not lawful for anyone other than the priest to eat the showbread that was offered to God in the temple. God commanded that the showbread would be laid out every Sabbath and would always remain present on the table in the temple of God. But Jesus, referring to scripture and the Jewish history, pointed out the action of even David, their most revered prophet and king. Even David, in executing a divine mission as the Lord's anointed, in order to fulfill his and his companions' physical needs, ate consecrated bread reserved for the priests. Jesus is saying, "Do you experts in the law condemn King David for his actions on the Sabbath?" Verse 27, "And Jesus said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath.'" The thing is, David did not break the spirit of the Sabbath. The Sabbath was given to man for his benefit, not to be a burden where more rules are added. Jesus was not in disagreement with the principle of the Sabbath, but he was in disagreement with the Pharisaical practice of the Sabbath. Jesus is correcting their abuse of it. In their legalism, they were focusing on the letter of the law and not the spirit of it. In Matthew's account of this confrontation, the Gospel of Matthew includes Jesus making other references to the scriptures. He references prophet Hosea, where God says, "I desire mercy and not sacrifice." The Pharisees were so meticulous with the letter of the law that they focus on what one cannot do. But God first and foremost desires mercy. If there is a physical need on the Sabbath that you are able to fulfill, it is better to meet that need than to cause or prolong suffering. But according to the Pharisees, if a person broke their leg on the Sabbath, it was prohibited to help that person. They couldn't put a flint on their leg. They would have to suffer with their broken leg until the next day. They would rather see a person suffer than break the Sabbath command. The Sabbath was more important to them than the life of a person. This is the ugliness of their religious legalism. And with that, Jesus stamps his divine authority over the Sabbath. In verse 28, Jesus saying, "Therefore the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath." You see, the Son of Man is a title found in the book of the prophet Daniel. And the Pharisees knew very well what that title meant. The only one who is called the Son of Man is given authority and dominion. He would rule the entire world forever. All peoples and nations and languages would serve him. So Jesus is saying, just as the Son of Man is Lord over all mankind, and the Sabbath was given for man, therefore the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. With that simple sentence, Christ Jesus decimates the Pharisees' legalistic understanding of the Sabbath. Since Jesus declares himself as Lord of the Sabbath, he declares himself as Lord of all creation. And therefore, Christ makes it clear that just as the world was created for the benefit of mankind, Christ has come to bring a blessing to all men. He is the Lord of the Sabbath. Therefore, he is the Lord who brings rest to our groaning and restless souls. Dear friends, when we look into our lives' circumstances and we realize the burdens of our soul, no rule or law will give you rest nor set you free from them. But come to Christ. Come to Jesus, for he says, "I am the Lord of the Sabbath. I am the Lord of your rest. In me is salvation and righteousness. In me you are set free from your burdens." In Matthew's account, just before this incident, Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Religion cannot ease your load. Laws and restrictions only make them heavier. But in Christ, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Now we come to chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. The confrontation continues. The Pharisees' hard hearts would not listen to Jesus. And Jesus entered the synagogue again. And a man was there who had a withered hand. So they, the Pharisees, watched him closely whether he would heal him on the Sabbath. The Pharisees begin to hate Christ even more. They start watching him closely, looking for reasons to accuse him. Can you see the hypocrisy of the Pharisees in their move to watch Jesus closely? Jesus would have walked more than the allowed 1,999 paces on the Sabbath. And if they were watching him closely, they would have to do the same. And also notice what is most important to them. Jesus breaking the Sabbath's law is more important for them than to have a person healed. Where there is legalism, there is no mercy. There is no love. There is no compassion. How dare you heal that person? They're thinking. It's the Sabbath. The Pharisees believe that healing is a form of work, and so it is not permitted on the Sabbath. Verse 3, and Jesus said to the man who had the withered hand, step forward. See, Jesus did not run away from confrontation. Jesus is not intimidated by his opponents. He was not a man pleaser. He knew his audience were looking to accuse him and make a legal case against him for what he was about to do. It is no coincidence that that man with the withered hand was there on that Sabbath. The sovereign Lord of creation caused that man to be there. This was a deliberate provocation against the Pharisees, an intentional public incident. Jesus knew why the Pharisees were following him. He knew their motives. But Christ had to correct their distorted legalism, which was so dangerous. A withered hand was not life-threatening. So to the Pharisees, to heal a withered hand would be breaking the Sabbath. Having asked the man with the withered hand to step forward, verse 4, then he said to them, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they kept silent. Jesus provokes them with this question. The answer is simple and straightforward. Of course it is lawful to do good. But their silence displayed their hardness of heart. They did not care about the man with the withered hand. By their extra biblical laws and traditions, they were in fact violating the whole point of God's law, which is to love God with all your heart and to love your neighbors as yourself. But their silence said it all. They would not budge. Their self-righteous laws were more important than the very law of God. Verse 5, and when Jesus had looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, their hard-heartedness made Jesus angry. Their stubborn hearts grieved him. This is Christ's reaction to legalism. His anger did not arise from a petty argument. Legalism is unjust, merciless, and deadly. It grieved Christ. It brought sorrow to his heart. This is Christ's response to stubborn hearts? Have you given yourself to legalism, where there is no mercy or love? Are you walking a religious road that is marked by rules? Is the measure of your faith based on how well you keep the law? Have you instructed others to follow the same road? Dear friends, Christ is grieved. Their stubbornness brought sorrow to his heart. Have you done the same? But although angry, mercy and love would ever flow from Christ's heart. Verse 5 again, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as the other. The law could not heal this man. The keeping of the Pharisaic Sabbath could not heal this man. But Christ could, and Christ did it. Jesus revealed through this man the true Sabbath. That true rest is found only in Christ Jesus. Legalism constrains, it withers the soul. Listen to Jesus as he spoke to the man with the withered hands in the synagogue on the Sabbath. Jesus said, stretch out your hands. Dear friends, don't let tradition constrain you, but let Christ be the Lord of what you do, and not men and their rules. Christ is our salvation, and he is our righteousness, so we stretch out our hands to him.